Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we're holding right after the Mishnah on the fifth line of the Gemara, My Chutz Migita. Now, what is Chutz Migita all about? If you recall, we started off our new parak yesterday, Poras Chatos Shesorfa Chutz Migita, the Paraduma that you burned outside of its Gita. What does Gita mean? We'll see in a moment. What's it in? Even though this is Pachot, he's Patur. Well, why is it potter? Don't we have the din of shchute chutz and aloha chutz and drika chutz? So how could this be that it's potter? Says Yimara, Shenemar, it says in the Pesach, Be'al Pesach oil moyed lo yehevi'ay. Kosh ein ro'i lo ve'al Pesach oil moyed, ein chayav an olam. It's very, very simple. The only chayav on those karbonis that should have been, could have been, would have been brought to the base of English, and you didn't, well, then you have the problems of shchute chutz, etc. But here, talking about paraduma, paraduma was never intended to be brought in the base of English. You go and have the Shechita and the whole process all done on the Hara Mishcha, otherwise known as the Hara Zeisim, and so therefore there's no din of Chutz L'machna or any of that. To the contrary, Paraduma is supposed to be Chutz L'machna, it's not supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore there's no din of Sreifas Chutz, Shechitas Chutz, etc. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara wants to interpret what does the words Chutz Megita mean. Zokti Morach, my Chutz Megita. We have machlokes now between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish, Chutz Mimokoim HaBoduk Lo. That means that they shechted and that they burned the Por Aduma in a place which was not the Mokoim HaBoduk. What does it mean, Mokoim HaBoduk? Rashi explains. We want to make sure that everything is done b'kedusha u'b'tahara. So, wherever they set and designated the place for the Por Aduma's shechita and burning, that was in a mokum that they were bodek to make sure that there was not any kever hatahoim. Kever hatahoim means a kever that is long forgotten, long lost, and no one knows that there is a kever over here. And then we don't want a situation where chas v'shalom are doing the Por Aduma and afterwards we find, holy cow, underneath the Por Aduma there was a kever and we were all mile on this kever and everything became tameh. So that to have a mokum which is boduk,
isn't,
they,
yes. Isn't Har Zeisim a cemetery?
Yeah, it kind of defeats the whole thing now, doesn't it?
That's today. We don't know that it was a cemetery at that time. In fact, the vast majority of those on the Har Zeisim are of recent death, unfortunately.
But it was a certain space. It was not the whole Har.
No, it wasn't the whole Har. That is correct. That's true. What you're saying is correct. Absolutely right, Ruling. How much longer are you going to be here? How much longer are you going to be here?
Monday.
Maybe you can extend a little bit longer, because it's so helpful to us when you're here and you can give very insightful comments and thoughts and remarks. Great to have you. Anyway, it says Zokti Mora Vaita Chutz Migita Amar Shlokish Chutz Mokam Abodek La. The Mokam of the Shechita and the Sreifa of the Paraduma was in a special place that they were boiling to make sure there were no Kever Hatoim. And now, if you veer to the right or to the left, up or down, or wherever else, they weren't boiding it, so therefore that was Chutz Megita. Says our Mishnah, even though that was not in the regular spot where they used to do the Shechita and the Sreif and all the rest, nevertheless there's no din of Shechutei Chutz. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Vali Kol Eretz Yisrael Beduki, the whole Eretz Yisrael is Boduk. What does that mean that it's all Boduk? We'll see Mir Tashem a little bit further down on the Omid, that the machloket between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan will be as to whether the Mabul at the times of Noach flooded Eretz Yisrael or only Chutz La'aretz. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Anyway, says the Gemara Elam Rabbi Yochanan, therefore Rabbi Yochanan says the time of Rish Lakish is not the correct time, but rather he going Shishachta Lefnim, our Gemara says Menchoymi Shishalayim, the Shita says Lefnim Menachoyma, but it all means the same, that instead of shechting it michutz l'machne, like it says in the Torah, by the Paraduma, beginning of Parshas Chukas, they did in fact, toich ha-machne, betoich choymas Yerushalayim, not on Har Mishcha, within the choyma, and therefore that is now chutz migita, that's not the proper place to go and do the Paraduma, but if you did it over there, you're not over on shchutei chutz. Why does Rabbi Yochanan have to say that we brought it all the way into the Chayma? Why can't we say Chutz L'Chayma, which is where you're supposed to do it, but Shaloi Kinegad HaPesach, but not in the direction of the Pesach Oyel Moyed? Now, it doesn't say that the Shechita has to be in the direction of the Pesach HaMoed, but it does say about the Hazo'is, the sprinkling of the blood. Meaning that we normally think of the Parah Aduma as being the ash which is mixed with the water, which is sprinkled on people to be matar them. And of course, that's the central aspect of the Parah Aduma. But to get to that point, first you have to go and shech the Parah Aduma, and after that you have to say, take some of the blood. And it says in the Pasuk, Vihizo, you're supposed to go, and if you have the number one in the Torah, Orah Sholem, Unasatam Oisa El Lazar HaKoyin Vahitzi Oisa El Mechutz L'machne, that means you go and take the Parah Aduma Chutz L'machne, like we just discussed, Vishachar Oisa L'fanav, you're supposed to shech that Parah Aduma in front of Elazar HaKoyin, V'lokach Elazar HaKoyin Midamah Be'etzvoi, he takes some of the blood, Vihizo El Noichach Pnei Oil Moyin Midamah Sheva Pomim, and now he spritzes seven times towards the Beis HaMikdash, towards the Ohel Moed. So therefore, the Gemara assumes, as we'll see in a moment, since the first pasuk says Vishochad, and the next pasuk says Vihiza, we're going to have a hekish one to the other. Like the Gemara explains, so the Gemara, the Omer of Ada Barahava, Shochta, Shaloi Keneged HaPesach, Psula, the Shechita also has to be in the direction of the Pesach Ohel Moed. Then it says, the pasuk Vishochad Vihiza, I have a hekish, Mahazo Ose Keneged HaPesach, Av Shechita Ose Keneged HaPesach. So therefore, why does Rabbi Yochanan have to explain our Mishnah Chutz Megita that it means that he shechted it inside B'toich HaChoyma? He could go and leave it outside the Choyma, which is normally where the Parah Aduma was geshechted and was burned, but instead of being in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, he did it on the other side. After all, a mountain has multiple sides, and so therefore it wasn't in that direction, it was the other direction. So L'choy Rabbi Yochanan could have given that pshat as well. Maybe you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan is not makish this hekish of v'shochad v'hiza v'itmar. You skip the next three lines. V'itmar sorfa shloi keneged haPesach. What happens if you did the sreifa shloi keneged haPesach? Rabbi Yochanan Amar psula, it's possible. Rabbi Yochanan Amar ksheira. Why does Rabbi Yochanan hold it's possible? Rabbi Yochanan Amar psula. Why? Because v'sara v'hiza. Meaning, just like we said before, v'shachat v'hiza, it says v'sara v'hiza. Now, where does it say v'sara v'hiza? In number two, that's the next pasuk, v'sara v'esa porali einov, es oirov yes psara v'es tamo al perisho yisroif. So therefore, the Gemara, by the way, when it uses the term v'sara v'hiza, really in terms of the Torah, it's the other way around. It's v'hiza v'sara. But the point of all of this is that I have another hekish, just like I had the hekish of v'shochad v'hiza, I have another hekish of v'sara v'hiza. That always the shechita, the hazah, and the sreifa all has to be in the direction of the Pesach Oyel Moed. And if it's not, then it's possible. So Ibazoi, so then Rabbi Yochanan obviously does hold of this shtikl Torah. So then why did Rabbi Yochanan have to say it's talking about inside the chayma? He could have said it's talking about outside the chayma, like usual, but instead of being in the direction towards Pesach Ohel Moed, it was in a different direction. That's the Gemara's kasha. But before we get to the Teretz, we're going to explain now Rabbi Oishia. Remember, Rabbi Oishia said, excuse me, that it's kosher. Rabbi Oishia Mekshera, Al Pirshah Yisraif, Mokim Shepay Rashes, Lemisa, Shom Tehesrei Fosab. This is a very interesting drasha, because the word Pirshah, literally here in the Pasuk, is referring to the excrement, it's referring to the tzoya of the Parah Aduma. And what it's telling us is, unlike in the Beis HaMikdash, we had a Beis HaMikdashim where they cleaned out the innards before they put, for instance, the oila, the nitach oisel and tzachel, before they put the limbs of the oila on the mizbeach, they went and first cleaned it up. Here, the pasuk says, Beferish Nishtasai, says that you take the entire Parah, es oira, the oir, you don't flay it, you don't take the skin off, and you take the basar and the dam. Al pirsha yisrof, the whole thing is one big fire with the pirsha, even with the shmutz in it. Okay, that's the poshup shot in the pasuk. However, boishia darshins, mokum shepoirash es lemisa, it's the place where the Parah Aduma has now officially expired, officially died. Well, what does it mean officially? Says Rashi, because of the fact that it's not uncommon for an animal, even after the shechita, to jerk around and be in Gemara Loshen Mefarches, to go and move from place to place. Obviously, it's not going to go all the way from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv, but nevertheless, for the next 10 seconds, 15 seconds, half a minute, it might be clinging to life and might move here, there, and anywhere. It says Rabbi Yishia, oh, that's the taich of the Pirsha, that Al Pirsha Yisraif, wherever the Mokim Shepereshes Lamisa, where this animal finally expires, which could be in a different direction than where they originally did the Shechita, Sham Dei Sreifas, and that's where you do the Sreifa. So therefore, even if it's no longer Keneged Pesach Oyel Moed, makes no difference, that's kosher, because we don't look at the time of the Shechita, we look at the time of the precious Lamisa.
You mean you're not allowed to move it?
No, you're allowed to move it. It's not
so
that
you can move it to the that's, where you want
the
direction.
What the way Rabbi Yishai is learning is not that there's an Isser of moving it, he's saying that the Mokam Yuchad, where you're supposed to go and burn it, is wherever this animal died. So if the animal was Geshachten over here, but it died over there, do it with the place of death as opposed to the place of... But not if you don't get an Isser on it, just saying that's where it's supposed to be. Yeah.
We're talking about this as being putter from the Isser of Shechitas Chutz. But the Purim Tumah is not a korban. It's Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Why are we? It's not roi to bring on the mizbeach
exactly
as a parah adumah.
Exactly.
So why are we even saying putter? It's not in the parsha. It doesn't feel like. I don't understand the premise of the question.
But you remember we had it in the Mishnah exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Parah schatu shesorfa chutz migita. Skip the next line. Putter. Shenemer, it says in the pasuk of Pesach oil moed liyavir, because she'ain a roy love your Pesach oil moed ain chayom and alav. So the Gemara is telling us, even though the paraduma has a parallel to a regular carbon, in the sense that a regular carbon is supposed to bring inside the Beit Hamikdash, in the Azara, whether it's the tzfoino or the droimo or the chol Azara, and then you're supposed to put on the mizbeach, all of the rules and regulations governing regular karbanas, so paraduma also has its own rules and regulations. It's not brought in the Azara, it's brought in the Har Mishcha. It's got to be in a specific place. Okay. Not Litzvoinoi, not Lidroimoi, but it's got to be Pesach Oil Moed in terms of the direction. So if you moved it out of that spot and you did it somewhere else, what were the other places? Kuntrish Lakish, Mokim She'ene Boduk, according to Rabbi Yochanan, inside the Choyma, according to the second shot where the Gemara is asking Rabbi Yochanan, wouldn't you agree even outside the Choyma as long as it's not in the direction? All of these places are not in the normal, regular place, and maybe they should also be in the din of Shechut Echutz. Zakti Mishnah, nein, your potter, because the din of Shechut Echutz only applies to Kabbalists in the base of Migdash and not parallel things like the Paraduma.
And the blood that we're talking about, that the Maza toward the Pesach Omoid, was it Makabal and the Klishores? We have a Klishores?
I don't know offhand. Maybe the Gemara is going to talk about it.
Okay.
But the Maza, they had to do seven hazois from
them. Against it, get it on their face.
Sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah. You wait till the wind dies down. You don't
I guess
do it
so.
On a windy day.
All right. But anyway, what you're saying is correct. So getting back to our Gemara. So Frey Gemara, so why did Rabbi Yochanan Dafke give the case of Chutz L'Chaima? I'm sorry. He could have said it's talking about Chutz L'Chaima, but nevertheless, it's still considered to be Chutz Migita. How is it Chutz Migita? By the fact that you did it in the wrong direction, even though it's in the same Hara Mishcha. Okay, everyone, Amri, you're right. Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, holds both of these potential places would be a good definition of the Chutz Migita. Chutz Migita, as you know, that means the normal designated Mokim where you usually do it on the Har Mishcha, and we have now the two pshatim, either that he didn't go all the way out to the Har Mishcha, he did it within the Choymas Yerushalayim, or the second pshat is Yitaka went out to the Har Mishcha, but he did it from a different perspective, a different direction. Okay, so Zuk Timur, you're 100% right. Rabbi Yochanan could have said the case of the Chutz L'Choyma, but Loimi Boye Chutz L'Choyma Derechuki Rachka, not only the case of Chutz L'Choyma, where it's further away from the Beis HaMikdash, further away from that El Pesach Oyel Moed Lehevioi. And if it's Nimen HaChoyma, the Kruvei Karva, even if it's Nimen HaChoyma, meaning within the walls of Yerushalayim, where it's much closer to the Azara, the Imet Teskasha would say, maybe that's even more kosher, because you're getting closer and closer to the Mokam Azara. You're not supposed to take a Shechtet in the Azara, but if you get very, very close, maybe it's Kemat, it's deemed to be as if it's in the Azara. Maybe it should be kosher. That's why I come to tell you that even within the Fnim, the Choyma, sorry, it's not kosher. And the same thing applies, of course, if it's outside Chutz L'Machne, but it's on a different Mokim on the Har Mishcha, like we said. So both Pshatim are good, and Rabbi Yochanan only wants to go and give that additional Chiddush, that even though it's inside, don't think it's kosher. No good. Okay, so now since we spoke about this Eretz Yisrael Badukihi, from now till almost the end of the daf, we're going to have a bit of agadita for a change. Omalei Rabbi Yochanan, while they call Eretz Yisrael Badukihi, the whole Eretz Yisrael is Bodek. But my commitment, what do you mean? Mar Sova Yored Mabali Eretz Yisrael, Umar Sova Yorad. According to Reish Lakish, the Mabel came down throughout the whole world, and including Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, since it included Eretz Yisrael, then all the people, it's Chol Hashem B'charov Mesu, unfortunately everyone and all the animals and all the people, the Havdol, all of them died. And since it was a huge amount of rain, the entire earth turned to mud, to blotter, as they say in Yiddish. And therefore, many of these Mesim may have gotten buried inside that mud. And wherever you're walking throughout the world, you could be walking on top of a Kever HaTahoim. Kever HaTahoim means a Kever that you don't even know that there is someone buried there, because he is, unfortunately, subterraneously in the mud down below. So, says Rish Lakish, anytime they did the Por Aduma, presumably they didn't have to do it every time, but the first time when they designated a special place on the Har HaMishka, from where they're going to go and do the Shechita and the Sreifa of the Por Aduma, they checked it and they were boiding it to make sure that there's nothing there as far as Ad Yodim Magas. I mean, it didn't go all the way down to the core of the earth, but presumably they dug and dug and dug very, very, very deep below to make sure no Keratayim. And that's why Rish Lakish says, and if you move it out of that place, oy, I might think that should be over on Hilchoy Shchutzechutz. No, there's no Shchutzechutz, because Shchutzechutz only applies to a carbon in the base of Mikdash al Pesach oil might. So that's the Svara of Rish Lakish. And Rabbi Yochanan said, no, Lioret, the Mabul only fell throughout the world, but did not fall in Eretz Yisrael. Since it didn't fall in Eretz Yisrael, so we don't have a problem in Eretz Yisrael of a mace which is tomun tachas akarka, we don't have to worry about the kevrat ha'oim. So what does the chutz mikita mean? Like we had Rabbi Yochanan, the two different pshatim, either within the choyma, outside the choyma, but a different direction, etc. Omram Nachmar Yitzchok, Ushneim Mikro Echad Dorshu, both of them derived there, in other words, their source of their understanding is based on the same pasuk. Where's the same pasuk? Says Yemara, a pasuk in Yechezkel. What does it say in number 3? Ben Odom, you person, Emelah. This is somewhat poetic, and it's saying, you person, Emelah, go and look at the land of Israel, look at Eretz Yisrael, and say, At Eretz loy mitayrohohi, you land, you are not tahor, loy gushma biyoyim zan. There was no geshem, in other words, you did not get flooded on that day of fury when the Kodesh Baruch Hu brought them up. What does this mean? So the Gemara is now going to give us two pshat. Zokti Yemara ben Adam emelo es asher loy. Is it es? Yeah, at eretz loy mitayrohi loy gushma biyoyim zan. Rabbi Yochanan Tzavra at mui mitamakra. The pasuk is asking with a lashon bitmia, in other words, asking rhetorically, asking a question. You ben Adam, look at the land and say, Eretz Yisrael, mi loy mitayra at, aren't you tohar and kadosh? Klum yordu alecha gesham biyim zam. Did any geshem fall on you during the times of the Mabel? No. So therefore, you land, Baruch Hashem, you're full of tahara. So mi loy mitayra, aren't you mitayra at, aren't you full of tahara? Avada, because Baruch Hashem, you didn't have the problem of the Mabul, you don't have the problem of the Kever HaTahim. Rish Lakish over Kipashta, he doesn't learn it with a Lashon Bitmiyah, he learned it by Lashon Nichusa. Eretz Lemitayroat, unfortunately, land, you know as well as I do that you are not Tahar. Milo Yordu Alecha Gisham Biyam Zam, don't you remember years ago in the times of Noach, all of the Meimabul fell on you like the rest of the world, so therefore, unfortunately, there must be people that are buried down below in all of that mud, and so therefore, your Eretz loy mitarat. So, the machlokes is based on how you read that pasuk.
But you would think the body would have deteriorated, bodies would have deteriorated sufficiently that there would no longer be...
The kever would still retain its tumah. Once the makam of kura, even though the body disintegrates, the kever retains as a source of tumah, the golel and the dofek and the golel, all that stuff, it's all...
The Gemara is assuming that unfortunately, tumah would remain even for generations later until all the remains had been removed.
You mean the bones?
the bones, and or even if they've decayed into
dust.
Nevertheless, that death dust is also deadly for purposes of tumah. So Eisvei, very Gemara. Eisvei, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, I'll bring you a raya to my view. And now the Gemara goes and tells us how they used to go and process the paraduma. What does the Gemara tell us? Chatzeiros hayu b'Yerushalayim b'nuyos al hasela v'tachtein cholu b'mnei kever ha-tohoim u'mevi'im noshim u'boreis v'yoldois u'megadlisham b'neim l'para u'mevi'im shvarim v'al gabeim talzois t'losois v'tinoikis yoshvan aleim v'koisus shal evin b'yodan u'mala v'yoshvan b'mkoiman, etc. Now this is a Mishnah in Masechtas Parah. And what does this Mishnah tell us? So we have to do a little bit of background. I think you're all pretty much familiar with this. There was a machlokes between the Chachamim and between the Tzedokim as to whether or not a Tful Yoim could participate in the Shechita or the Sreifa of the Paraduma. And there is a Pasuk, and they understood the Pasuk, the Tzedokim, that if you're a Tful Yoim, you're a Pasul from doing the Paraduma. And the Chachamim said, no, you're kosher, it's not a problem. Even though he's a Tvuyom. Tvuyom, remember, means that he was Tomei. He went to the mikvah and we're waiting for Herif Shemesh. Said the Tzedokim, this is a rare case with the Tzedokim, were more Machmir than the Chachamim. They said, no, he's disqualified. No good. Aros. Masha Inkain, the case of the Chachamim. The Chachamim said, no. A Tvuyom is also permissible to go and do the Sreifas HaPara and being part of the entire process. So now the Gemara tells us that the Chachamim wanted to show the Tzedokim that we respectfully disagree with you, and every time they did a Paraduma, which as we know was not a frequent event, but whenever it happened, they specially took the Kohen that was going to administer the Paraduma, and what they did was they were mitameh him, and have him go to the mikvah, and after that, now he's a Tful Yoim, and he should now do the Sreifa and all the rest by the Paraduma. And this way we were showing the Tzedokim, see, Chavra, we're not going to worry about you, even with your Chumris. A Tful Yoim is allowed to do it, and they were Metamei the Koyin, and then they had him type. Sorry?
On purpose,
exactly right. The Chum, however, had a big concern now. The concern was that the Hamoin Am, who are not learning Masechtas Parah and not learning the Daf today, are going to say, you see, the Paraduma, it's really not, you see, a coin could even, the Metamim L'chatchila, so the whole thing was not, we keep on thinking Paraduma, that's the Shpitz of Tahara in the world, and from that we can go and sprinkle on all the people that went that became Tamei Mesim, and all the Kalim that became Tamei Mes. You see, that's an issue, so gefarlach, look, even Metamim the coin, he was a Tful Yoim. So therefore, to solidify in the minds of the Hamoin Am that Paraduma is a very serious business and everything has to be done taka shpitz, the highest form of Kedusha v'Tahara, they instituted numerous chumras that you would normally not expect. So what were those chumras? One of the chumras was that Kohen who's going to do this Reifa, they went and they were concerned, Chazal were concerned, that he might be Tomei Tumas Mes, without even realizing it. So for 7 days prior to the Shechita and the Sreif of the Paraduma, they would go and spritz on him every one of the 7 days from Paraduma waters from a previous Paraduma to make sure that he didn't have any Tumas Mes. Why did they do it all 7 days? Because I don't know when he became Tomei. If he became Tomei. And we know you have to go and spritz 2 times Shlishi u'bishvi, but I don't know which day is Shlishi, which day is Shvi. So the entire 7 days they went and spritzed on him. Now the question is, but maybe the water that they spritzed on him, maybe that itself became Tomei. So what did they make sure? I'm sorry?
How could it become Tomei? The water that purified from the Paraduma.
Maybe it touched a dead a nevela or a dead sheret, or a person who was a Balkari, or maybe a Zav or a Zava, maybe the water itself became Tumah. So what did they do? To make sure that there was no Tumah problem whatsoever, they went and had Tinoikos. Tinoikos means young little kids. That these young little kids, they should go on every day prior to the during the 7 days, I don't know if every day, but prior to the 7 days when they went and spritzed the Kohen every day prior to the shechita and the sreifa of the parah adumah, little kids who are less than 9 years old, since they're less than 9 years old, they cannot have a din of a balkeri, and we'd have these children go down into a mayon, into a river, and take water which was kosher water. Rashi says they would go and take from the Mehashiloyach, which is even today you can get tour guides who'll show you where the Mehashiloyach is near the Beis Hamikdash. Anyway, and they would go and collect, these children would go down into the water, collect the water from the Mayan down below, or from the Mehashiloyach down below, and then bring it to wherever they put in the ash, and use that to go and spritz on the Kohen Gadol. Of course, the ash from the previous poraduma, which they had put away in Bimishmeres somewhere, to be able to use that for spritzing. But how do you know that these children themselves never became tamei? So you're going to tell me, how does a baby, a child until 8 years old, how does he become tamei? Maybe he's living over a makom where there's a kever hatohoim, and so therefore, from his birth, maybe he is mile on the tumah down below without even realizing it. So they found a neighborhood in Yerushalayim where they did a good drisha v'chakira and bedika to make sure that there was no kever hatohim. How did they do that? They made sure that this was a place that was full of tall, large, beautiful boulders. And underneath the boulder, they were able to go and determine, I guess they dug under it, and they found that there was a halal tefach. And as long as there's a halal tefach, if there's below that tumah, the tumah will stay within that halal and won't come out. Because if under that boulder there was no halal whatsoever, so then the tumah has nowhere to go. It's what we call tumah ritzutza. Tumah ritzutza means... Adle Shemayim. It's going to go and pierce through that boulder and go all the way up, and therefore if you have anybody living on top of it, or just even walking on top of it, that individual is going to become tamei.
What's halal mean?
Halal means an open space.
Hollow space.
Ah, so therefore they had these special one or more neighborhoods in Yerushalayim where women that were pregnant or about to, or wherever, whatever, that they're going to soon have a leda, they would have them move to that section. Presumably they gave them some sort of financial incentive to do that. And they would live there, and then they would give birth to these kids. And these kids would never leave that neighborhood. They would always stay within the Dalet Amos of that neighborhood to make sure that they don't go out and become tamei with a tumas atohim. Ah, so therefore, we don't have to worry about tumas atohim. We don't have to worry about them becoming bali keri. And I guess they made sure don't go and touch any velus or don't go and touch any dead shirotzim. And if they did, they would travel in the mikveh and then they would come out and everything is great. Okay, and now on that special day when they have to go and draw the water from the Meshiloyach, Meshiloyach was not in that neighborhood. So they had them ride on the back of an animal, where on the back of that animal they would go and put a large plank, the Gemara calls it a deles, like a large door, and they would have the child sit on that large deles. What's the point of that? Because we're afraid that the behema itself, it's for walking on a kever hatohim, so that kever hatohim is going to go all the way through the behema to the kid that's on top of that deles. What happens is, if you have this delis, which is wider than the back of the animal, so automatically from the delis where the kid is sitting to the floor will be more than a halal tefach, and then the halal tefach, the tumah, is going to end underneath that delis, and it's not going to come on top of the child. And now what happens to this child is now...
But it goes through the cow.
It goes...
The delis is above the cow, so the delis... The cow and the delis above it.
Where is the space?
The space is between the delis and the
on the floor.
Mm-hmm. So that delis creates a halal tefach. That's the insulator.
Mm-hmm. Just
the
like
the insulator is the halal tefach. Is a halal tefach or larger? So you have the door. It's a pshut that creates. It's flat. It's not mekabel tumah. Mm-hmm. The child's on top of it. So the animal is carrying the child. And
the animal mekabel tumah.
A live animal can't be mekabel tumah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So the tumah is stopped by the halal. So you do have a halal tefach insulator between the child and any potential source of tumah. And we're not even relying on safek tumah b'shus harabim, because malahu b'parah, they're being so nervous about parah, they're like, no, every possible precaution. So you have this insulator. The halal tefach is the insulating region. And the baby, the tinok is on top of a pshutei kliyetz, which is not makabel tumah, so it's insulated.
Exactly.
So it goes with the cow together.
The cow is just a force of motion. There's no.
Right,
no,
but yeah. No, the insulator is moving.
Right,
with
right. The cow is
kind of a harness, kind of a thing that you see on the elephant when they.
Yeah. The Raja. Yeah. But this is a big flat board.
Right.
The Raja is usually on top of the elephant, just in a little basket.
Right.
Here it's a big board.
And then when the child goes down from the board down to the ground to go and draw the water, our Gemara doesn't go into this, but elsewhere in Masechtas Parah it says, why am I not concerned that now he's getting down to the ground and over here, what's going to happen is maybe he's now being mile on a kevat ohim. Says the Gemara, we're not concerned about a kevat ohim on the banks of the Mei Shiloyach, because the assumption is that it would have been washed away by the water many, 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 many years ago, and they wouldn't bury Mason right next to a water tributary because of the fact that that's not going to be a good place for a burial. It's going to be washed away.
But the Mason Marble would not have been buried there. This would have been found there. Mm-hmm. They're not worried about that?
No, they're not worried about that. The assumption was that as a result of the water, everything was pushed aside, pushed away. It flowed downhill, and nothing left. And now to make sure that the kli that they used to go and be mekabel that water, that would not be a kli that's susceptible to tumah, they used a kli which the Gemara calls koisei shel even. Rashi says really kli glolim or kli avonim, which are not mekabel tumah. So we're going to go over the lashon of the Gemara again, and we'll look over the lashon of the Rashi to go and fill in all the blanks. Zokti Gemara.
Nachum.
Kli glolim means kalim that were manufactured out of excrement.
People used it. People used to use it.
Yeah.
Poor people, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. Just like all of our kli cheres was originally Adam, was all mud. Would you go and eat mud? No. But if you process it in the oven, in the furnace, it can hopefully take away any of the things that would cause it otherwise to be a source of abomination or detest or repugnant. Yes.
I mean, we know that they used to use it for firewood.
Mm-hmm.
The excrement.
Yeah, that's, but not over here.
Is that called?
Over here it was used to formulate, to form the actual kalim themselves. So, Eisvei, again, go back to Yemar, Eisvei, Shlokish, Rabbi Yochanan. There were special neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, Benuyos al Gabia Sela, that were built on top of large boulders, Betachteim Chalul, and underneath that they made sure that there was a hollow, and they Kevrat Ohim, so that the tumah of the Kevrat Ohim would not sprout forth and go up. It wouldn't be a tumah Ritzutza, it would stay there, buried underneath the Sela, and it wouldn't affect anybody. Umevim Noshim Ubars, and they brought women that were pregnant. The old days. And they had them go and give birth there in those chatzeres, in those neighborhoods. And they would go and have the children grow up for purposes of that paraduma. How often they bring a paraduma? Very, very rare. But nevertheless, they made this special, how many times? Seven times, nine times, whatever in history. Can you imagine? And nevertheless, they made these special neighborhoods and they gave birth there, etc. And they brought the oxen, and they had these big, big, large planks. Gemara called it a deles. And the youngsters would sit on them. The koises shel even biyodin. They would hold these koises of even in their hands. Umolu, and then they would go down, fill up these koises with that water. The yashuv mekayman, and they would return and would sit on their spot. So let's see now this little about the Rashi. Then the Rashi will fill us in with some of the protim, some of the details. Rashi halfway down the oven. The tachtein chalal. Underneath the boulder there would be this hollow. Shemyesh kemer, if there's a kefir down below, mafsik hecholol, then the cholol would then be mafsik between where that kever is buried, where the person is buried, and between the bottom of the sela. V'shuv ein tumah b'kasla malam in a cholol, because then the tumah would not sprout forth, would not burst forth, but would stay there in the cholol. Aba tumah ritzutza, if you didn't have the benefit of that cholol, of that hollow area, then it would be tumah ritzutza by kasva oila l'rkiya, go all the way up to shemayim. Umegad l'shem b'neim l'parah, the mishum. What's the reason why we needed all of this? The mishum, the metam, and esa koyin asayir fesapara. There would be metam, the koyin that was administering the gantzis reifav in the parah. M'mnei atzadoikim, because of the tzoikim that said that a tful yoim is possible to do this reifa, and we the chacham held no, you're wrong, they are kosher. So also, b'shar malas, everything, lots of malas. Kol Shibbos Yimei Prisha. So 7 days, nobody was able to go and shake his hand. Stay away, because maybe they were tamei. V'havlu tenoikas noigin boy umazen olav. And then rather the tenoikas would come, and they would be the ones that would go and spritz on him. V'al gabeyim delosois lahafsik ben atenoikas lekarka, to go and be mafsik between the kids and the ground down below. Shlo yahilu al kervatohim belechtam lemalis maim chaim lekiddush min hashiloyach. If they're coming from their neighborhood was not right next to the shiloyach, wherever it was, they had to go and transport these kids. So they transported them on these dalzois on top of the shvarim. Alma, so what do I see from all of this? Lav kula beduki. The fact that they went to all of these extremes, doesn't that suggest to you that Reish Lakish is right and Rabbi Yochanan is wrong, that not the whole Yerushalayim was beduki, because unfortunately the Mabul did come to Eretz Yisrael, and did come to Yerushalayim, and therefore you may have buried Mason down below. And the koyshe shel even she kol ma'ase para bekli glolim or bekli avonim she ain mekablim tuma. They made sure to use those types of kelim which are not mekabel tuma. Can remember taima b'shmeitzer kamaisa b'seder yuma. All of that is built in to these chumras. So getting back to our gemara, we're going to see the next Rashi in a moment that'll fill us in with another couple of details. But the point of all of this, Reish Lakish is now asking Akash and Rabbi Yochanan. You see that they went to these very, very great lengths to go and make sure that everything was Bektusha B'tahara, all because of the Tzedokim, etc. And they were concerned about Keva Tohoim here, there, and everywhere, and that's why they made these Chatzeris, and that's why they had the Daltzois and all the rest. So you see that there is a concern about Keva Tohoim. So I'm right, Rabbi Yochanan, you're wrong. You see, there must have been a Mabul with all these Keva Tohoim situations. Amra Funa B'Rid V'Yishua, Ma'la Osu B'Para. No, the truth of the matter is none of this was required at all. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, there were no Kevrat Tohim to worry about in the first place. What's the reason why they did it? Only because of those malas. Next Rashi, mala osu bepara, that parallel to where we are in the Gemara. Mishum kula de kilaba, because of that kula, that one kula. Mishum tzedoikim show yoimim mumravi shemesh hoysen nasis, that you could have a tvul yoim. Tvul yoim means someone who is waiting for her of shemesh. Voyimetamim es akoyin, they were metamim the koyin, umad bilin oisai, to go and give a punch in the eye, a punch in the nose to the tzedoikim and say, you guys are wrong. We're not going to listen to you, not only on your kulais, but not even on your chumrais. And so therefore, v'sarfa tvul yoim, and the tvul yoim went into the sreifa saparam. The people should not denigrate and demean the whole process and say, even the Kohen who's doing the administration of the Gan Tzipor Aduma, he's Tama and he went to the mikveh and he didn't have Erev Shemesh. This is Rabbi Yochanan that says, they stack a wonderful malice and chumras upon chumras, but none of it was really necessary. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael Beduki, because of the fact that there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael in the first place.
One small question on this procedure. How can the Tame coin, isn't it assert to be a coin that's a lav, become Tame? To the Tame coin, isn't that being over a lav?
You're now going to be Metame Truma. You can't be Metame Kochim. I don't think there's a problem.
Metame Gavra?
Okay. No. If he had a relationship with his wife, he becomes Tame. He shouldn't have a relationship with his wife.
So exactly, that's also true. Shkoyach. Every time he's a Balkari. Yeah,
this whole complication just to give a shtach to the tzedukim.
Hey, can you imagine?
Yeah, it's a publicity.
Would it be easier, better, is it just make the humra. You're right, in the humra, tzedukim, they did it to him, and that's it. It
shows you how passionately the tzedukim were attractive to people, that they had to do. I mean, the expense of this was tremendous, to do all this in order to publicize how important the paraduma is, but for that one kula.
And then they make them tame right before.
Right, with the sherets.
Correct. Can you imagine?
And who you said that the tinokos were maza the kohen asar for sapara?
Mm-hmm.
How can they do it? How can they do the hazah? Hazah has to be done ish by an ish.
So you think it has to be a godel? See, Rashi says, yeah, that umazanola.
Right. That's the question. How
okay.
Could
make sure we get to Masechet
Parah. It's not Talmud Bavli, so you're
it's the Talmud Bavli. There's no Gemara. Right. It's only Mishnah.
This is the only Gemara. This and Yoma is all we have.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a couple of other references here and there. Okay, anyway, so bottom line, this is all malice. Think of the Tzedokim against the Chachamim, similar to the Reform movement in the 1700s, 1800s. What the terrible problems they made for
the Haskalah.
And look at the Nebuchadnezzar guy today.
Right.
Except for us from Eden, all the non-religious Jews, the non-Orthodox.
They're washing away like the missing Mabul by the Shalom.
And then they're the ones that voted for your friend Mamdani, that he should become the new mayor.
Mamzudani.
Can you imagine? Nebuchadnezzar, the old Tzedrait, the left wing is socialist Tzedrait. Okay, so that's the Tzedrakim they had to. Okay, Zog the Moravite, Ace Vay Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Now Rabbi Yochanan is asking Kashan Rish Lakish. Pam Echon Motsu Atzomais Belishkas Deer Ho Eitzim. One time they found Atzomais. Lishkas Deer Ho Eitzim. It was a Lishka in the base of Midrash where they kept the Eitzim for purposes of putting them on the Marocha. They would, of course, have to go and be boiting them to make sure that there were no worms and all the rest. Good. But now it's a special. A storage house for the Eitzim in the Bais Mikdash. And one time they found out something. They wanted to go and make a Gzeiris Tumah and say, if there could be bones over here, there could be bones anywhere. Right. And then the whole Yerushalayim Chash is showing up.
There's no bones about it.
Make no bones about it. Exactly.
The Aron was buried there. We had a Gemara in Shkolim. The Aron, there was a Kohen who saw a tile loose and he picked it up and a fire shot out. Lishkas Eitzim.
Exactly. Omer Rabbi Yeshua Aragleth. So Yeshua got up on his legs. V'omel loibusha uchlima hilonu shenigzar tuma al ira v'yseinu. How can you even say those words? Did you even have a havamina? We should say about ira v'yseinu Yerushalayim Mirakodesh that we should go and say chas v'shom zeres tuma. Aye meise mabul. Aye meise Nebuchadnezzar. Do you think that we have any meise mabul here in Yerushalayim? Of course not. Do you think we have any meise Nebuchadnezzar? Of course not. And since these do not exist, you don't have to be goyzer. How did they get those atzamas? I don't know how they got there. But don't, because of that, make a broad gezeir in the whole Yerushalayim. You see, there are no Mason Marble here. There are no Mason Nebuchadnezzar here. And that's why Yerushalayim is here a Kodesh.
If the Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yeshua is a Tana.
Okay, so we're not done yet. So Rabbi Yochan is asking Reish Lakish, Semitika Omar Hochi, since he used those terms, Lav the Memer, didn't he mean to say, to Lo Yehava, just like we find that by, okay, we'll see in the book, and that's in a moment. You see, by making that strong rhetorical statement, he's saying, we're the Mason Mabu, we're the Mason Nebuchadnezzar, what does he mean to say? Asanishta. If you look at the Rashi, five lines from the bottom, Aye Mason Mabu, Shinim Tsoim Bashar Mekoimais. You go to Tel Aviv, you go to Haifa, you go other places, maybe at least outside Eretz Yisrael. You go to Bavel, you go to Iraq and Iran and all those other places, you're going to go and find Mason Mabu. The Kanin Mentsoim, Bayunzanishta Azazach. There is no Mesei Babel. So therefore, L'choyde Avishtar Karai, as you say for Rabbi Yeshua, that there is no such thing as Mesei Babel in Eretz Yisrael. So you see that I am right, says Rabbi Yochanan, that the whole Eretz Yisrael is Bedukehi. You don't have to be Boydik, it's crystal clear. And therefore, I am right and you're wrong, Reish Lakish. Let me ask you a question. Harugin Nebuchadnezzar, Hochanamad Lehava? Are you telling me that when Nebuchadnezzar went and killed out so many people that nobody was killed out in Eretz Yisrael? Unfortunately, tons of people were killed out in Eretz Yisrael, and not only the rest of Eretz Yisrael, but Yerushalayim itself. So why is he saying, I may say Nebuchadnezzar? And what he meant to say is, Rabbi Yeshua, Elahavu Upanina, what he means to say is, you're never going to find today any Haruga Nebuchadnezzar, because if and when there were any at the time, they were all unearthed, and they moved them on to another Beis HaChaim, moved them somewhere else. So Hochanami, you could say the same thing that Rabbi Meisim Abel. Hava, they were Meisim Abel, absolutely, Ofeninu, and then they moved them out. That being the case, there might still, in fact, be a Kevra Tohoim, says Reish Lakish. That Rabbi Shua said, we're the Meisim Abel, we're the Meisim Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't mean to say that none of them died here. There were plenty that died, and many of them were killed, and all the rest. But they would move them out of the way. So they moved these out of the way too. So therefore I, Reish Lakish, am right that there was a Mabul here, and there were Mesei Mabul, and most of them they were Peninu, but there may have been one here, there, that was not, they didn't do a good job, and so therefore that's the reason why you have to worry about Kevra Tohoi. The Afnu Ho'ifni, so now the Shita takes out those four words, and Rashi doesn't have that Girsa either. It's just continuing on. Nehi, the Ifni Mirushalayim, Mikul Eretz Yisrael, Lo Ifni, says now Reish Lakish, even though Rabbi Yeshua said there's no reason to be Goyzer on Yerushalayim, because in Yerushalayim, if and when they were Mason Mabul, or they were Mason Buchanetz, and they made sure to go and take out every bone, and make no bones about it, as Bill says, no bones around. But Chanekan said, Yisrael, Ifni, they were not, they didn't do a good job, Igbefana, all of them. Since they didn't do a good job, Igbefana, all of them, that's the reason why we have to be worried about the rest of Eretz Yisrael, including and especially for purpose for our purposes, Harazesim, because Harazesim, as you said, they were Mason, not necessarily Mason that were intended to be buried there. They're Mason because it's outside Yerushalayim. Since it's outside Yerushalayim, it's Chutz Megita. Since it's Chutz Megita, said Rish Lakish, that there was not Gita was a Mokum HaBodek Club, and anywhere else it was not Bodek Club, because it was already outside of Yerushalayim, and that's the reason why I might have thought that it's like a Shchut Echut situation, and therefore it should be a Din of Kares. Says the Mishnah, no, no, no. It's a valid concern Reish Lakish holds. You have to worry about this Tumah, whether it's Bodek or not, yo, but there's no Din of Shchut Echut, because there's no El Pesach Oil Moyen Le'eviyah, it's not a Karb. Zokti Yemara, Ikad Yamri, or I have a different version in the discussion between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, not that Rabbi Yochanan asked the Kasher Reish Lakish, but Reish Lakish asked on Rabbi Yochanan. We had Rabbi Yeshua just said a moment ago, Ah, you may say Mabel, Ah, you may say Nebuchadnezzar, my love, Midahani Havu. By Mason Nebuchadnezzar, we know that Nebuchadnezzar and his troops and all those guys during the Churban Beis Hamikdash times killed many, many Eden. So for sure they were there. And the fact that Rabbi Yeshua says, Ah, you may say Nebuchadnezzar means that they were Mufni, that they were all moved out, that subsequently the Chevra Kedisha came and unearthed hundreds, if not thousands, of bodies and moved them out to other places. Zok Yemora, Hani Nami Habe. Wouldn't you say the same thing probably applies to the Mason Mabel as well? The Mason Mabel, there were tons of them throughout Eretz Yisrael, including Yerushalayim, and they were Mafana them, just like the Mafana, the bones of the Mason Buchanatzar. So says Rish Lakish, I have a riot to me against you, Rabbi Yochanan. Yemora says, Midiaria, Hakadisa, Hakadisa, each one is separate on their own. Meaning the Mason Buchanatzar, the reason why Rabbi Yeshua says, we don't find Mason Buchanatzar because they were talking Mafana them, but in the case of Mason Mabel, because there were no Mason Mabel, because there was no Mabel in Eretz Yisrael, according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Mabel and it's all contribution. Okay, no problem. Frank Dimar yet Eisvei, and the Shita adds Eisvei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Another Kasher Reish Lakish. Says in the pasuk that everything on the face of the earth died. Mikoyel Asher Becharava Meisu. Everything on the solid land on the earth went and died. Says now the Gemara, Bishlam the Didi Dam Mina Yor Mabel Eretz Yisrael Mishem Hachi Meisu, because of the fact that there was a Mabel, Mikolash Bacharova means really the dry earth. Everything died. So dry earth includes Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't say only Chutz Laretz, Mikolash Bacharova, everything and anything. Sounds like the whole world. So that being the case, it's a Raya L'chor to me that the Yod Mabel Eretz Yisrael. Mishum Hachi Mason, that's why everybody died. Elidach, why do you say Amai Mesu? Why don't you go and say that in Eretz Yisrael there was no Mabel, and therefore nobody died in Eretz Yisrael? According to you, Rabbi Yochanan, every Gemara Mishum Havla, Kidur of Chizda. The Gemara is saying is that unfortunately people in Eretz Yisrael also passed away at the time of the Mabel, but not because they passed away because of the flood, but because of the heat. They couldn't withstand the heat. Well, what heat?
Climate change.
Kidur of Chizda, Yomar of Chizda. Beroyschen Kilka, Beroyschen Nidoinu. Unfortunately, they sinned Beroyschen. More doesn't explain, but Roitzchen means it means because of illegal arroyos, that they were engaged in illegal marital relations, and so therefore that's the Roitzchen, that the person gets heated up and the Zera comes out because of the passion and the heat. Because of that, Roitzchen, you don't know that the waters of the Mabel were burning hot. How do I know? The Chesivach, it says over here, at the end of the 150 days, V'yishoyku ha-moyim, Parshat Shav, V'yishoyku ha-moyim means that the waters began to subside, and they stopped. And, however, the Gemara is talking about V'yishoyku means they began to cool off. How do I know? Chesivach, it says, V'chamas ha-melech shachacha, which means that the Chama, the fury of the king, cooled off by Achashverosh. Here, too, the waters began to cool off. Ah, so therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, there was no Mabel in Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk Mikolish Chorava, everybody and everything died on the face of the planet Earth. Yes, unfortunately, even Eretz Yisrael, they died. However, they didn't die as a result of the waters of the Mabel, but rather of the heat of the marble, and that heat spread all over and killed even the people in Eretz Yisrael.
But actually, Rabbi Yochanan's proving Rabbi Yochanan's point. They didn't die of the marble, but they died in Eretz Yisrael.
But
so there's a chashash that there's meisei of the age, of the time of the marble, not from the water.
By the kli, there was somebody to pay.
Everything you're saying is correct. But the reason for the kever at the home is because we're afraid that bodies got into the mud. And now that mud, when finally dried out, you have bodies inside the mud.
Buried underneath the surface.
Exactly.
Okay.
Over here, everybody died on top of the ground. Nobody was down below. And after the marble, then the big Chevra Kadisha in post-Noyech times went and buried all of those people in a cemetery, maybe in the other side of the Har HaMishka, right? As you said, only part of it, not the whole thing. Very good. So getting back to our Gemara. Another version. Not Reish Lakish, that's Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish. Tzim Mikol, Shecharov, and Mace, anything on the dry land died. Bishlam, the Didida, Minna, Leyard, Mabla, Tzom, Shemachi, Hava, Charova. Then it makes a lot of sense to go and say that there was Charova or Charova in Eretz Yisrael, that there was dry land. There was dry land the entirety of the marble from day one until day 365. The whole time Eretz Yisrael was dry. Mikol, Hashem, Charova. It was dry land. El Lidach, according to you, my Charova, there was no Charova. The whole world was inundated with water and marble and flood, so there was no Charova. Everything was Charova, Shoyse Meikari, means that there was a Charova previously, prior to the marble. So, Freitim over my Karele Charova, what's the point of the Posse telling us, Mikolash Charova Mesu? It should say, Mikolash Baretz, Mikolash Ba'olam Mesu. What's that? It's the Charova. Kerav Chizzi, Yom Rav Chizzi, famous. Rasha Rashi brings in Chumash, Bedorah Mabel, Inigra Gzera, Ala Adog Nishabiyam, the fish down below, there was no Gzera on them. Shnem Mikol Shabcharov and Mesa, only those people and animals and fowl and everything that was above the ground, Mesa. Bedorah Nishabiyam, they were underneath, not underneath the ground, but underneath the water, there was no din of Misa on them.
But if the water was hot...
Oh, very good. I was going to ask that question momentarily. Very good. So to my bishlam, elamad yom liyar mal eretz Yisrael, hani dekam rima hasam. Elamad yom liyar rima hai heicha kaam. What is he more talking about? This word rima, we know of in the Torah as re'em. It says in the Pasuk, b'chor shoyroi hodoloi, the karne re'em karnav. Re'em was some mysterious animal or beast that existed at the time of the Mabel and existed at the time of the Torah. We don't know what it is today, but it was some huge, huge beast. And we'll see in the Gemara momentarily that the dimensions were astronomical. It's unbelievable.
Enormous.
Enormous. Good. It's looked at Mishlam and the Amalei Rod Mabel Eretz Yisrael, and it become Rima Hasam. So Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to preserve all the different species. So of the kosher species, we had seven. Of the non-kosher species, we had Shtayim, Bo'el Noyach. How could the Re'em fit into the Teva? Zoktimara, if you hold the Ramabul Eretz on the Kamadim Hasam, so the Re'ems, they were able to live and propagate and continue their lives relatively normally in Eretz Yisrael. But if you hold that the Yorad Mabul, even to Eretz Yisrael, then the Re'em, how could it continue to exist post Mabel, and we know it existed post Mabel by the fact that the Pasuk refers to it in Devarim, Abachar Shari Hazalai, the kind of Re'em kind of. What's a Re'em? I know what a Re'em is. How did you know? They didn't survive the Mabel. No, they did survive. So how did they survive? Reb Yanai, Gurios, Hechnisa B'teva. They didn't take fully grown Re'ems. They took little baby Re'ems. Like you had in this week's parasha, Gur Arya Yehuda. Gur is a lion cub. Ari is a big lion. So these are the little Re'em cubs. Freitimar, you want to know how little these Re'em cubs were? Well, Rabbi Baruch Hanna, L'didi Chozili, I once saw Urzila Derima Bas Yoima, a little baby Re'em, which was one day old. One day old. V'have, and the height of it was Kehar Tovar, like the mountain of Tovar. So you're going to say, well, how tall was mountain Tovar? V'har Tovar Kamahava, Arboin Parsi. It was 40 parsois tall. If you want to get an idea of what 40 parsois is, as you know, a parsa is 4 mil. 1 mil is 2,000 amois. 2,000 amois, according to Chazonish, is every amma is 2 feet. Make it 4,000 feet. That's 1 mil. If every parsa has in it 4, so it's 4 times 4,000 feet, which means 16,000 feet. In a mile, miles 5280. So in 16,000, you have a little bit more than 3 miles. Just call it 3 miles, make it simple. 3 months. That's in one parsa. Here it's 40 parsois, which means 120 miles tall. So this hartov is 120 miles tall.
That's 1 day old.
And this re'im, which is 1 day old, is 120 miles tall. We're not finished yet. Mashgat tzavore, the length or the width of its tzavar of its neck, was tlosa parsi, 3 parsois. Remember we said 1 parsa is approximately 3 miles. This is 9 miles, just the neck. Marbata deresha parsa upalga. Rashi says marbata deresha means when the re'im would put its head down like on a pillow or something like that. So the area of the pillow underneath the head, that was a parsa upalga. That one and a half parsois. So that gets, that's already four much shorter. It's only 4.5 miles. Roma kova, when the rima would go and have excrement fall from its body, Socha Yardena, it dammed up the entire Jordan River. That's the amount of excrement that fell out from this 1 day old. The whole Yarden was now dammed and stopped up. I don't know if
that's why the waters forever. The waters went back, and you know,
yeah, very good. The waters went back. Anyway, we see that this is huge. Obviously, Varshim say this is all guzmois. A little baby was 120. But it was obviously very, very large. And we're talking about the gurios. So how are you telling me that we preserve the gurios inside the teva? It's impossible. Amr Biechman, you're right. They didn't put the whole gur or the whole re'im inside the teva. Roy shechnis the teva. They only put the head inside the teva.
But the head was 4.5 miles. Oh, v'homamar
marbata dereisha parzupalgi mamash yorkasha. So you see, this roish, where the aim would put its head down on a pillow or something, was parsa palga, which means 4.5 miles. The whole table was not 4.5 miles. Not the whole head, they just put the nostrils, the end of the nose. That's what they put. They had a long nose inside the teva, and that's how it was able to breathe inside the teva, but the rest of the body was out.
How did it eat?
It ate from whatever it ate from outside the teva. Ma'amar v'yoychanan, lo yoren mabel eretz Yisrael. I didn't, Rabbi Yochanan, say the Leorin Mabel the Eretz Yisrael. In other words, why was it necessary to go and do all of these things? Now, the one that said that Roy Sheikh Nisa Lateva, if you go back 3 lines, that was Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Roy Sheikh Nisa Lateva. Rabbi Yochanan should go and say, Chevra, there's no problem of the Re'im being inside the Teva. Remember,
they didn't need the teva.
They had the whole Eretz Yisrael where they could roam around.
They had a plate in Eretz Yisrael.
And Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't need to have the nostril, they didn't need the head, they didn't need anything.
The water was awfully hot.
I was going to talk about that in a moment. Freitim of Rabbi Yochanan, lo yored mabel Eretz Yisrael. So he should just simply say, let's trace that up, that the nose was inside, the head was inside. It lived peacefully ever after there in Eretz Yisrael. He's talking to Rish Lakish. Avad, as far as I'm concerned, none of this was necessary. According to Rish Lakish, my dear brother-in-law, I want to save him over here. So I'm telling you that he had the nostrils in. The teva was moving. Since it was moving, wouldn't you assume that eventually those nostrils would fall out of the teva? I mean, how did he go and cling on to the teva? Rish Lakish kind of kashru b'teva. Besides the nostrils being inside the teva, they also tied the horns of this re'im to the teva, and those horns were very, very nice. The karni re'im karnav. And so therefore they tied it to the teva, so you didn't have to worry about the re'im falling away when the teva was on the move. But Frey Timura, this is the question that all of you have been asking for the last few minutes, from Rav Chisda, Anchidora Mabel, Beroyschen Kilkel, Uberoyschen Nidainu. And so therefore the water was very, very hot, so wouldn't the re'im die in the hot water, even though it had the nostrils in the... It would be cooked, yeah, cooked alive. Let me ask you an even overriding question. The teva was held together with tar, with pitch. That gefes that they put on it, wouldn't that also melt in the very, very hot waters over a whole year's period of time, at least 150 days? Wouldn't it melt? We have a famous chazal, that Oig Melech HaBoshen, that he lived throughout the time of the Mabel. How do I know? Because it's in the Pasuk, V'yovi ha-polit, and one of the pshatim of Chazal was polit, that he was a refugee from the times of the Mabel. How did he exist? Hey, Chikoy. Ela neis nasu lehemshin istananu b'tzidei ha-teva. Right around the teva itself, there was a cold zone. Avada, move a few inches away or a foot or two away, then it was boiling hot. Avada. However, just a room and a room, the teva, there was enough room for oit to hold on to the teva and for their aim to be tied with its kind of to the teva and to exist and to survive and to thrive, even though...
Yes, you need two aims because you needed a male and a female so they could propagate.
Maybe, yeah, you're right. Well, the Shimon Lakish, Nehi Nami Diyar Mabel Eretz Yisrael, V'holoi Posh, the Mabel Taka fell into Eretz Yisrael, however, it didn't leave any Mesim in Eretz Yisrael. Why? The Amr Ish Lakish, Lama Nikra Shmo Metzula, why is Bovel called Metzula in Tanakh? She called Mesim Mabel Nitztalusham, because all the Mesim Mabel, they all flow downhill from Eretz Yisrael. As we know, Eretz Yisrael is Gavoya, Mikola Rotzois, Yishlaim Horim Savivla. So anybody that died in Eretz Yisrael, even according to Rish Lakish Lishitose that said that there was a Mabel in Eretz Yisrael, all the Mesim would have glided and flowed down into Metzula, into Bavel. So there shouldn't be anybody left in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Loma Nikra Shmo Shinar, another term for Bavel. Why is it called Shinar? She called Mesim Mabel Ninarusham. All the Mesim Mabel, again, they fell down and their final resting place was in Bavel, not in Eretz Yisrael. Everything worked. That's good for 99.9%. There'll be efshadoli idbiku. Epis, one guy over here, one guy over there, that might have gotten attached like a glue, devek, to Eretz Yisrael. The vast majority went mitzula, went to Shinar, and therefore the Chevra Kadisha was busy in Bavel for years to go and bury all of the mason. However, epis, a body here and a body there must have been attached somehow to some mud here or there, and therefore, says Rish Lakish, you gotta check it out. Now, since we spoke about Shinar, Omer Babo, Lomene Krishma Shinar, another reason, Shimana Eris Ashireha, the Ashirim that live in Bavel, their Ashiris, their wealth does not stay with them, but it gets shook out. Over time, they lose their wealth. I frequently read more about Chazinan, Tehava. I know Ashirim in Eretz Yisrael, and not in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel, and they are very, very wealthy, and they didn't get shaken out or shook up, they got their wealth. It doesn't last more than three generations. So in the fourth generation, he's going to have ear einiklach that are going to be of very modest means. What's the reason? You find throughout the world. You find all the big knackers, and then you find the ear einiklach that they are, I wouldn't say choyzer al psachim, but they're shlepes, exactly. The Gemara says that that's the reason why money is called zuzim, because it's zoz mimakam lamakam. Zoz means it's always on the move. This generation, this guy owns it. By the next generation, it belongs to the other one. And the next generation, somebody else. It keeps on moving on. What's the reason why in Bavel, Mina Eris Ashira, says Rashi? Because the Gemara tells him, Sechtes Beya, that Einon Merachmim Al Habriyais. These people were wealthy, and the people would come
stingy,
for alms. And they were miserly and stingy, and didn't give him any money. That's why it says in Gemara, Beya Ashiri Bavel, Yor de Gehenna main. They're all going to go down to Gehenna. There's going to be a big, big auditorium for all the Ashiri Bavel.
They love their own basic necessities there, though.
Presumably.
The
Jewish Ashiri?
Sorry?
Even the Jewish.
We're talking about Jewish.
So the Lotsmanschaft there.
Yeah. And doesn't say that there were no exceptions to the rule. Just saying that the masses, unfortunately, of the wealthy people.
Machozo was a famously wealthy city full of bad people.
Okay, Amr Bami, Kol Oichel Me'afresh L'Bavel Ki'ilu Oichel Basar Avoisav. Make sure if you're eating from the offer of Bavel,
don't
eat from that offer, because Chas V'Shalom, you're going to eat from the flesh of your
Ovis,
your ancestors. Tana Mihochi, Kol Oichel Me'afresh L'Bavel Ki'ilu Oichel Basar Avoisav. Same thing. Yesh Amrim Ki'ilu Oichel Shkotim Uramasim, because they also died. So whatever you eat, make sure don't eat offer of Bavel. Because Avra Bavel is full of the dead bodies of all the others from the times in the Mabel until today. Okay. So we have now concluded the Parah Aduma, and now we're on to the Sar Mishtaleach. If you were to go and shech the Sar Mishtaleach anywhere, you're not going to be over on Shchut Echut, because it's not El Pesach Oil Boy. Or many, Frank de Morakasha. Oy Karbon, Shemeani Afilu, Kotchibetikabaish, Nikru Karbon, meaning that when we're talking about the parish of Shchut Echut, the pasuk talks about karban. Well, Pesach oil moed lehevioi lahakrif karban lashem lefnei mishkan Hashem dam yichoshev leishahu dam shavach v'nechras ishahu mikerev amay. Okay, so he uses the term karban lahakrif karban lashem. Now, normally a karban is what we think of, you know, the karban that you bring the base of midrash, you know, you shecht the various karbanis, or even a kar mincha. That's what we normally think of in a kar. However, the term korban is used in a different context. Legabe kodshi berekabais. Where? By the clay midjan. If you go now to pasuk number 5, vanakriv es korban Hashem, we, the soldiers, brought the korban Hashem. What korban Hashem did we bring? Isha shem matzah kli zov, v'etz odav, v'tzomit, tabas, ogil v'chumas, l'chapal nav shisena lefnei Hashem. All of these are different items of jewelry. Etz odav, v'tzomit, tabas, all of these are referring to bracelets, and to earrings, and to nose rings, and to finger rings, and all of that type of stuff. All of these jewelry, we didn't keep it for ourselves, but rather we brought it to the Bene Kabayis, we brought it to the Mishkan at that time. But the Pasuk uses the term an akrivis, korban Hashem. So I might think that the same thing applies to Kochi Bene Kabayis. Maybe there's two, there's an inyan of shchut echut. Now obviously you can't go and shecht jewelry, but a person could go and be maktish an animal for the Kochi Bene Kabayis. And I know both of you and everybody is thinking.
Right, well, Gemara confuses it with Lusha's guf.
The only time that a kodshim, which is kodshi dam, kedushas dam, gets infused automatically with kedushas aguf is only if you were makdashit for roi lemizbech. Exactly. If you took a behema, which was totally a tam, totally good, no mumin, no nothing, and everything was wonderful, and you should have, could have, would have brought that for a carton, and instead you infuse that with kedushas damim and say, I am makdash you not to go and bring it for a carbon, to go and give you a kedushas dam. What would be the purpose of that kedushas dam? Because I'm hoping to find another behema to bring for a carbon. I haven't found one yet, so temporarily I'm giving you a kedushas dam, so that if I find a much nicer one, I'm going to be able to sell you immediately. I don't have to have a mum, because it's only kedushas dam, not kedushas aguf. I'll sell it, I'll take the money, and I'll buy that other behema. Then you go and say that if it's roy to be brought in, then it's an automatic upgrade. However, if you were makdashit, especially the kedushas bere kabayis, not for the
like the paraduma.
Okay, fine, the paraduma, good. So any one of those things, what's the din that it does not get upgraded? Okay, so therefore says Yimar, shemei ani afil kodesh bere kabayis. Maybe the same halacha applies to nikru karban shenema v'nakriv is karban Hashem, and so therefore it's like this pasuk where it says carbon. So maybe I should say that if you shechted it now outside somewhere, you'd be over and shchut echut. Tamalim the pesach oyel le'ya v'yoy. Mishur lo v'yoyel moyed. You ought to be going to bring ma'ayish einer uyin to go into oyel moyed because you didn't were makdashit for that purpose to bring for kabanas. You were makdashit for purposes of berik abayis. Zok yimor vayta. Oitzis elu she'einer uyin. V'loy oitzis sora mishtalech. Shehu roi lo v'yel pesach oyel moyed. Now, why is the Sura Mishlech Roy Lovey Pesach?
Before the Gorol, it could have been the Seir Lashem.
Exactly. So we're going to see that in a moment. Tamalim Lashem, Lahoitzi Sura Mishlech, Sheinu Miyuchel Lashem. It wasn't Miyuchel Lashem to bring for a carb in the base of English. It was Lazosa. Freiti Mariet, we just said now in our Mishnah that Sura Mishlech, there is no such din of Lahoitzi Pesach Oil Mite. And here we're saying that I'm learning Tamalim Lahashem, Lahoitzi Sura Mishlech, Sheinu Miyuchel Lashem. Why don't I learn the Sura Mishlech from that same drasha, Vel Pesach Oil Moyed Lehevi'oi, that we're not bringing it to the Pesach Oil Moyed, because they're not bringing it for a carbon. Why do I have to focus on LaHashem, Lohitzi Sura Mishlech? To play Kasha, Kan Koinim Agrola, Kan Le'achar Agrola. It depends on why you're bringing it to Pesach Oil Moyed. So our Gemara doesn't go into it in depth, but go back to the Parasha, Parashas Achri Mois, that talks about the Avoida on Yom Kippur. There it says that they took Takam for the Pesach Oil Moyed, both of the Seirim, and they had to do Hagrola, which one is going to be the Sura Lashem, meaning for a carbon, and which is the Sura Mishtalech, so Taki came al Pesach Oil Moed. Ah, so therefore, now I have to have the two Psukim. If it's already post Hagrola, then it's not al Pesach Oil Moed to Avila the carbon Lashem. However, if it's pre Hagrola, then it is al Pesach Oil Moed, but it's not Lashem. In other words, it's not Miyuchad Lashem yet, because we haven't been Miyachad, which one is going to be for a carbon, and which one is going to be for the Sura Mishtalech. Good. Frank Timura, but Achra Grolinamio Ikavidoi. Then there's a Vidoi at that time too, where the Kohen has to put his hands on it, and that was also done El Pesach Oil Moitz, even post Hagrol. And Amarav, Ravmani, Loikasha kan koidim vidoi kan achar vidoi. If you're talking about before the vidoi, then it's roi la vioi el pesach oil moyed. Avada for what purpose? Number one, for agrola purposes.
And for vidoi.
And for vidoi purposes. But once we're talking about after vidoi, at this point there's no need anymore to come to the pesach oil moyed. Yeah, but isn't it also Lahashem, Moitzer Mishtalech, which no longer has any shaykhis to Korbanos, it's going to go now La Azazel and not to the Pesach HaMoed anymore.
It's interesting, Mishnah didn't list...